Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 57 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Zachar, the Remembering One, Part 3. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Shifting atmospheres is the basic concept that we've been in for a little while under this idea of unlocking the prophetic. And in unlocking the prophetic, I don't pretend you kind of grasp for words to explain spiritual phenomena. I almost feel like I'm devaluing spiritual phenomena when I give it English words. So my hope is that we do catch more than's taught, because to use words to the spiritual, running into the presence of God and things of God, to use words is a way to communicate, but there's a lot more going on than the words we're speaking. When you read the words in the Bible, you must be born again. That's a set of words, but it means a whole lot more than you must be born again. So the born again experience is an incredible explosion in our lives. And then we have different points and times in our lives that we run into the explosion of the Spirit again in our lives. And it's just like getting born again all over again. Or I've seen it be more than feeling like you've been born again. And that explosion of running into the encounter of God, you're trying to decide, now, am I going crazy, or is this God? Well, it's God, and it looks crazy to other people, because you're so overtaken by His presence and by the reality of His truth. And the reality of that truth and run is, when we get to heaven, I'm convinced that the love of God is going to be the greatest experience we've ever had. We've had a little taste of it. We try to define it, and we try to study it. The only reason we try to define and study something is because we're not encountering it. So I say, let's just try and pray that we encounter it, and we'll study it later, because I got a feeling that everything's wrapped up in the love of God. So in the love of God, in the shifting of spiritual atmospheres, today I want to get into the nature of heaven. As we are shifting atmospheres in this place, the nature, and I'm going to call it this room and this area, by virtue of us sitting in this room, the very spiritual atmosphere has a, how can I say this? The spiritual atmosphere has a level of intensity. Now, as more people fill the room, if we were considering having the nature of heaven, the intensity then would increase. Now, when we're changing the atmosphere in a room, or if we're changing the atmosphere of this service, if we are coming in here with the intensity of the kingdom, and we're praying that others will encounter what we're not experiencing ourselves, can happen, but is not the model. The model is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So as we experience the Christ in us, the hope of glory, we bring into a fellowship a level of intensity of spiritual encounter. So as we're in here, we do not want to escape the fact that we tend to escape our own personal encounter with the presence of God and the intensity of the Spirit. We tend to escape that, and it's what I call about a three-layer. Underneath there, our motive is for others, but we are ignoring ourselves. Now that sounds like the right thing. Do we want others to experience God? The answer is yes. But consider this one way that others can experience God. There's many, but consider this one. If somebody comes into a room and the intensity of the individuals in that room is at a high intensity on a personal relationship with God, or a personal revival is another term we use. If they come into a room and let's say all of us are in a personal revival, the intensity of the Spirit increases. So I want us to consider our own personal, if you want revival, it's done one at a time. It's done one at a time. Now, it just so happened, and I've had people say, well, Alan, that's going to take too long. No, it doesn't. It doesn't take but 1 second for all of us to get it one at a time. But just the same, we all have to get it one at a time. Doesn't escape it. You can't get it because your mom and daddy got it. You can't get saved because your mom and daddy got saved. It's a personal encounter with God. So we want to have two truths in one hand, two hands. We have a truth over here, our own personal encounter with the presence of God, and the intensity of the revival of our own hearts and souls. And over here, we do want it for others, but we want to give others what we got. Now, it's okay to give others what you hadn't got. I say stuff like that for God all the time, and I'm not there. And that from time to time, it works. You know, from time to time. But as a rule, if we are in revival ourselves, you don't even say it right and something works. You just splash or something. I don't know what's going on, but it's something different. Now, this is the nature of heaven. The nature of heaven is that this nature is bigger than you. The nature of heaven is bigger than you. That's the reason it takes more than you to contain it. Your soul's not big enough to contain this nature of heaven. But your spirit's been made to live in it. Are you with me? All right, let's go forward. Now, here's a few verses just to bring us. I'm not doing this as a review, but I'm doing it to get us back on this page. Awaken so the seed may receive light. Y'all remember this verse. Therefore, he says, awaken you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you what? Light. So we see that when we become awakened, that light is the issue. We're after light. And what does light do? Light makes it to where you can see things that you couldn't see. If something's in darkness, you need light to see it. It's in Ephesians 5. Now, you were created to remember, and I want to remind us of this one. We were created in the image of God, in His own image, and the word man here is the word what? Zakar. Right? In this passage, the word for man is translated the Hebrew word Zakar, which means what? The remembering one. Now, we've been going over this for a few weeks. The remembering one, remember this, is the issue. The remembering one. Now, there's something that I've taught you that's tied up in this remembering. Remembrance is the beginning of a divine act. You have to go back to go forward. Everything in the Spirit tends to be the opposite. If you go down, you go up. Right? Remembrance is the beginning of a divine act. You go back to go. When this building was built, somebody had to go back to the blueprint to take it forward. Right? You had to go back to the blueprint before the forward happened. So there is something about the creativity of the future that has everything to do with remembering. Now, as a prophetic people, remembering is the issue. We remember what God has done. The battle, I've said this before, I think I have a slide, is not for your stuff, but for your mind. The enemy is wanting to fill your mind with remembering everything that's wrong. He wants to fill your mind and wants you to remember everything, every bad thing that happened to you in a negative way last week. He wants you to remember that. The remembering is the biggest, greatest, grandest revelation that you'll ever get on the prophetic side of glory. Because remembering is the issue. The enemy come to you and say, well, you're not even born again. You're lost. Well, how do you deal with that? You remember when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and life. That's what you do. Then you play it. Have you ever been to, you know, you heard this before, people go to McDonald's or the drive-through window and they get paid for your stuff and then you say, hey, I want to pay for that one that's behind me. Right? And they call it pay it forward. Right? That's the way the prophetic works. You remember and you pay it forward. What happens to the people in the car that you just paid for? They experienced something. They just didn't get a free sausage biscuit. Something hit them in here. Why? It's the way it works. You paid it forward. You went back to go forward. You just moved them that were behind you forward. Are you with me? Now, so remembrance is a divine act. That's the reason when people started doing that, and it touched everybody that it happens to. I'm saying, right there it is. Just a perfect illustration of what happens in the Spirit. So therefore, to forget is to stop any divine action. We want to remember what God has done, and we want to stop what we have done. Because when we remember all the negative, it has a power in our life. That's the reason we repent. Repentance stops the power of the negative. You with me? It's the reason we repent. True repentance stops it. Why does it have a power in your life? Why does it keep playing over and over and over and over? Because the power's in the remembrance, because you were created in the image of God and you can remember. So all of your thoughts are a divine action. So God is after reclaiming your thoughts. Those that have darkness assigned to them, we repent. And at the repentance, we take it to the cross. The cross rewrites the ending. So every thought has a happy ending. Is anybody getting it? That is very important. I cannot tell you how important it is to have the fullness of forgiveness and no condemnation. If you're going to be prophetic, you can't walk in condemnation. Because those memories, the power of the negative memory, will influence what you're trying to give in a positive manner prophetically. I hope y'all got that. I couldn't say it again if I had to. But it's the truth. Now, let's move forward. When God forgets, He doesn't engage in a certain action. When God remembers, He does. We are remembered by God. We are the objects of His active saving mercy in Christ. Because we have been remembered by God. Ephesians, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him when? Before the creation of the world. God knew every one of us before Adam and Eve. That's right. God knew every one of us before the Garden of Eden. God knew every one of us. So when the Holy Spirit came to you, God paid it forward. He went back in his memory before the foundations of the earth and paid it forward. He paid for your sausage biscuit. Did you get it? He paid for it before the foundations of the world. Now, could you have said, if you're in that car at the McDonald's drive-thru and you come up and somebody said, well, they just paid for your sausage biscuit. Well, I don't want it. Well, guess what? You don't have to eat it. If God paid forward your salvation, if God thought of your salvation before the foundations of the world, He thought of everything else in your life too, uh-huh. He's waiting for you to say yes to it, just like salvation. You say, well, Alan, some things hadn't went right. Okay, I got it. Let's repent. Let's take it to the cross. Say, God, I didn't do this right, and I missed this, and I didn't say yes to you. God has said yes to me. Okay. All right, tell you what we're going to do. We're made in the image of God so we can remember. I remember that, God. And God says, okay, you pay it forward. Think back, remember. Now, you pay it forward to the cross. Is anybody getting what I'm trying to teach here this morning? You take it and you pay it forward to the cross and it's paid for. Then there's no condemnation. If you get released, Christians are under a level of condemnation because they're not taking their memories to the cross and have them completed. A memory has to become completed to go into the filing system of the memory of the mind. If it's not completed, you can't get it filed. Now, you can go back to the file and pull it out, but you can't get it in the file. It's on your desk. It's on the front of your life. It's always there, nagging at you. Then you start building up all this spiritual paperwork on all your failures without bringing them to completion at the cross, clutters up your memory, and you say, I can't hear God. I say, but you got to clean your desk off. There's some new paperwork coming down, but you got to make room for it. So the Holy Spirit starts showing you in your memory of these failures, and you just repent. Repentance is the lifestyle of a prophetic people. Why? We're trying to keep our memory banks in good working order. The only way I cannot be the issue in my own memory is because I've taken care of my issues. And as I have taken care of my issues and my memory, then I'm not the issue. But your issues are going to clutter your memory unless you take care of your issues. Does anybody get that issue? And we clean up those issues. We take them to the cross. The memory is completed through repentance. Forgiveness has been given. You feel good about your sin because it's been forgiven. Then that memory has a happy ending. Desk is getting cleared. No condemnation. Well, what about that bill of your sin? Oh, it's been paid for. Jesus paid it forward. God did it for, He even created this, but I'm paying it forward because God did it before the foundations of the earth. Can you see? Now, what I'm explaining to our prophetic people is your inheritance in Christ. The cross pays it forward. It's your inheritance. Somebody get it. Yes, glory. It's your inheritance. You got to spend it. I'm getting give out and I ain't started yet. I think I'm grunting too hard. Okay, He did all this before the foundation of the earth. Say, I got it. We reach in the remembering for the power that is needed. We reach in the remembering for the power that is needed for the now. Remember what you know. Now, this is what happened in 2 Peter real quickly. I'm going to move fast here. I always say that, I know. 2 Peter 1:12. Therefore, I will always be ready to do what? Now, Peter here is going to remind a group of people here of something, of these things, even though you already know them. I said that, I think, a couple weeks ago. You can be sitting here and say, "Loud, I've read 2 Peter. I know chapter 1. I know what it says." And then all of a sudden, we'll cut our brains off. I already know that scripture. Well, duh. God says something He's wanting to remind you of is the reason it's coming back through. Peter said, "I know you already know this, but I need to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is in this, which is presently in you." So one thing we want to learn sitting in the house of God, or if we're reading the scriptures or whatever, just because you read it before, if you think you know why the Holy Spirit wanted you to read it again, before you read it, you won't get it. That's right. Say amen if you understand it or not. That's the truth. The Holy Ghost is one. Hey, you, I need to remind you of something. They needed to be reminded even though they already knew the truth Peter was speaking about. So as our pastor gets up here and preaches on something, the Holy Ghost is saying, "I need to remind you of something." Now, when the Holy Ghost reminds you of something, why do you think He's reminding you? Because you're getting ready to need it. If our preacher gets up here and preaches on healing, you say, "Well, I know that verse. I've done." Well, why? Listen, under the power of the Holy Spirit of God, if the preacher says it to remind us, it means it's on the table. Can anybody have enough of humility and no pride and receive that? Pride's what keeps us from receiving it. That's free. It wasn't a new truth that Peter was bringing to them. Remembering stirs. So this is in the next verse now. Yeah, that's verse 12. See it up there? Here's the next verse. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in the tent, this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. So the reason Peter wanted to do it was not, that word "stir up" there is not an emotional stir. It's a spirit stir. So when the preacher stands up here, let's say, and preaches the truth about healing, he is stirring spirit. And he's reminding you, me, to stir because it's on the table. We can now encounter that stirring. Peter says in this verse that a person may have heard the truth, been established in the truth, but not be stirred by the truth. Now, we're in a sad place when the truth doesn't stir us anymore. That's where the people of God are. Got so much truth in them, you couldn't stir them with a baseball bat. We're needing the truth that's in us to be restirred. Peter's telling this crowd, "I need to remind you, and if you'll let it, it'll stir you." So somewhere, somebody's got to be honest and say, "I'm stagnant. I need stirring." That's humility. And when you say, "Yes, God," listen, a 10-year-old could be up here preaching the truth and it should stir you. Say, "Well, they're not old enough to tell me that." They ain't got nothing to do with that. It's got everything to do with your being a receiver of being stirred. That's what Peter was saying here. Peter wanted to stir him with something. He wanted him to remember something. It was called a divine nature. Evidently, they were forgetting about the divine nature. It's the reason he needed to stir them. Would you agree? This is what he said in verse 11. Now, I know I'm reading the scripture backwards. I do that a lot. It's the way the prophetic runs. It just runs backwards. So a lot of times I'll take the scripture. If I'm not understanding it, I'll start and I'll take the verses and I'll read it backwards. So this is verse 11. He said, he wanted to stir them. He said, first, I got to remind you. Then I got to stir you. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter said a lot there. He's saying that there is an entrance into the kingdom of God. He said, I got to stir you on this thing. So this is not about the sweet by and by. It's about the nasty now and now. He said, I got to stir you, remind you that there is an entrance right in front of you. And that entrance is to walk in to the kingdom of God. Yeah. Amen. Now, watch it. That's what you call a stirring. Now, partakers of the divine nature. He's trying to stir. Peter was talking to a crowd. Said, listen, I got to stir you up. The reason Peter was stirring them up is because evidently he wasn't stirring them up to make them feel like they were at Disney World. He was stirring them up because there was a huge need that they were missing. Peter said, I got to stir you up. We got a need out here. Oh, my goodness, you're asleep. You got to wake up. I'm going to remind you what you already know, but I'm going to stir you up because of the need that's here. He said, there's this entrance into the kingdom. Now, you see, when we walk into the kingdom and live in the kingdom, stirred up stuff happens. Listen, you can't see stirred up stuff happening if you stay outside the kingdom. We can say kingdom come get them all we want to. We got to go get in it to get it. When you got born again, it was made available to us, the divine nature of God. Now, there's seven qualities I've got here of the true knowledge of God. This is what Peter's talking about. Now, the true knowledge of God is the divine nature. Listen to me now. The divine nature is seven qualities. There has the word knowledge in some translations. In other ones, if you get it right, it says true knowledge of God. Seven things. Now, I'm going to back up to verse 1, 2 Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious, what? Faith. This divine nature, to walk through this entrance into the kingdom of God, we can be sitting in this room and some people can be in the kingdom and some not. You can't have a bad nature and be in the kingdom. If you want to walk in it, just imagine one day I'll be able to, that I could walk through that wall. Spirit can walk right through that wall, but flesh can't. So if you got a bunch of flesh on, trying to get in, walk into that kingdom and operate. Listen, I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying to you, if you want to operate in the kingdom of God now on earth before you get there, it takes the same nature you're going to have in heaven now. So you can't walk through that wall in spirit with a bunch of flesh. You'll hit it. But there's the way this thing works. You begin with faith. This divine nature begins with faith. The faith is not in what you're not. The faith is in what He is. So can you see why you got to take care of what is not so you can walk in what He is? The knowledge of God. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the what? Knowledge of God. Now, that's true knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. The true knowledge of God in 2 Peter 3, according to His divine power. Say divine power. Divine power. Now, I just showed you that you have been created in the image of God in your memory. So So God is wanting to transform your memory into a divine memory. How does He do that? Through His divine power. The way we do soul care is we take care of our memories. We take our bad memories to the cross and get them healed up. Right? So there's now therefore no condemnation. When we don't have this condemnation going on, listen, people can walk in not being forgiven, but you can't walk in condemnation. And condemnation comes from not being forgiven. The greatest sword, the greatest weapon in the kingdom of God, greatest weapon, is forgiveness. Listen, army, we have all failed. We have been all disqualified to be in the army of God. The enemy stands in your mind and mine and throughout history, condemning the people of God and their failures. We have all been disqualified. How do we get re-upped? Through forgiveness. You see, how many times does a person fail? 70 times 7? I don't know. How many times can you be forgiven? See, the only way that the army of God even exists, because after each failure we re-up through forgiveness. Anybody getting what I'm saying? We need an army. We need a big army. We have a secret weapon called forgiveness. It's real. Forgiveness, it's real. Ask it for yourself and issue it to others. It's our weapon. Why? Because you never should be disqualified for long. Matter of fact, when it happens, repent, forgive. You say, well, Alan, I just can't handle them anymore. That's a lie of the pit of hell. Yes, you can. You say, well, they just went too far. I can't handle it. Well, your soul can't. It's not supposed to, but your spirit can. Where are you going to live? Now, let's go. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of what? This divine nature. All right, divine nature. We're wanting divine power. You need divine forgiveness. Divine power. That you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How do you escape it? Because you walk in forgiveness. All of your thoughts have been taken to the cross, all your memories. So what you're going to store in your memory, what's going to come up in your memory, is this divine nature. Now here's what this is saying. The divine nature is already in you. You just got to clean your desk off. The memory is all in redemption. The divine nature was placed in you the day you received Jesus Christ. God's wanting you to clean off your desk. It'll emerge. You don't have to work for what you done got. You just got to clean it off so it can grow and receive the light. Awaken. 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 How do we awaken? Because we see the light. Clean off your desk. Walk into forgiveness. Forgiveness means there's no condemnation. Guess what? That corn grain just sprouted and came through the dark earth. Now it sees the light. The light starts to hit you. What is that light? It's feeding the divine nature that's done in that seed. The divine nature in you grows because it receives the light. Now, he goes on to say, we're going to add to our faith seven things. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. This is adding to the faith. To virtue what? Knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. To patience, what? Godliness. You got to understand, clean off your desk, sun shines, all of this emerges because it's done in you. The light of God causes it to grow in you. You can't manufacture it. You just clean up the ground so it can feel the heat of the light. Its seed will sprout and it'll grow up into your life. And you'll become somebody that you don't even know. Because God's divine seed's in us. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, or love. The seven qualities, it says, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, godless, brotherly kindness, love or charity, it says. Now these, when you see these things sprouting up and growing in your life, you then understand you're cleaning up the desk, you're cleaning up the clutter, you are taking care of business. So, that the seed of God in your life can grow. You don't make this happen. You can't make it happen. You can't work at it. Only thing you can do is clean off the ground. If you're out there in the woods and got some clearing, you clean back the leaves and the sticks and everything, and divinely God's poked some seed in that ground. You cleaned it off, and the light shines down on that ground. Seed's still in darkness, but it feels the heat. Through that heat, it'll sprout and it'll grow. It'll grow. You know when a seed really starts growing? When it hits the light. When it sprouts, it feels heat. It sees no light, but the heat's coming from the light. A lot of the heat in your life's from God. He's trying to sprout that divine seed. Come on. If you'll push on through it, the light will hit you.
Come on.
Divine nature starts growing. When that divine nature grows up and it's spiritually mature, it produces a harvest. We're trying to get harvest without sprouting. We got to mature. We got to grow. Now, being fruitful, it says this in verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, or increase, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge or the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, if these things are in us, he says here that you will not be unfruitful. A corn plant just can't help it to produce corn. It's already in its DNA. It's just going to produce corn. As long as you let the light get to it. Now, I told you before, when you grow corn, you have a plant population in an acre of corn so distributed that when that corn gets about knee high, it shades out the weeds that are under it. The way we do weed control farming is through shade. We shade it. We plant rows now, corn in 15-inch rows. Corn spacing is 15 inches apart. So therefore, an acre of ground looks like a checkerboard. 14 inches down the row, 14 inches apart. Used to plant on 40-inch rows. But when the corn got neat, the corn would have to get head high before it shaded the middles. So therefore, you had to use a lot of chemicals or a plow and mule to bust the middles. We've learned to plant those to distribute these seed properly over an acre, so when it gets knee-high, the leaves are already overlapping, thus shading the weeds. And you don't have to use chemicals. Thus, we have what's called the church. Why? So in your life, you're distributed 15 inches apart and 15 inches to the side. We're all growing together. We help shade the weeds in each other's life. You get one corn stalk off out there in the field by itself. Well, it's just me and God. Yeah, try that one out as a kudzu and everything pulls you down. God so designed the church that as we live together in harmony and unity, your life will be easier because we together shade out the weeds of life. Now, that's the fruitfulness he's speaking about. But he that lacketh these things, if you lack them, you're blind and you can't see far off. Now watch this one. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. There's the remembering one. When the remembering one forgets, you start getting blind and you can't see prophetically at all. Why? The remembering one forgot what God's done for him. Say, Alan, I got it, so you can move on. Now he says to practice these things. Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election what? Sure. That means that it's 100% real. For if ye do or practice these things, you shall never fail. For so an entrance, and here it is, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's not talking about salvation running into the kingdom of God when you die. It's talking about running into the kingdom of God now. Jesus prayed that heaven would come to the earth. Well, I pray tell, how's it going to do it? It's going to do it because we're operating in the nature we're going to have then now. Therefore, we're bringing what's in heaven to the earth. You'll have a front row seat to heavenly things coming to this earth. That's what he's saying. That's just the way it is. Now, to a Zakar, you remember who that is? That's you and me. In the beginning, God created man and woman in his image. That word is Zakar. The word Zakar means the remembering one. To be the remembering one, it says in the next verse, verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Now, catch it. He's not remembering them. He's not asking them to remember it so their brain remembers it. He's wanting them to remember it because the power of the future is you got to go back in the remembrance and you pay forward the power that's in the remembrance. That's what Peter was saying. Is anybody getting that? He goes on, verse 13, yea, I think I meant as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Remember the power of God. The power of paying for there's a power in a sausage biscuit. Because you pay for what is coming after you, but you're paying it forward. The reason we have power today is because God thought of us, created us in His memory before the foundations of the world. And we pay it forward. He said, I'm going to do this in remembrance. Remembering means you trust. This is in Deuteronomy. Be careful to follow every command I've given you today so that you may live and increase, may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember, how the Lord your God led you to all the way in the desert these 40 years. Deuteronomy. When they remembered what God had done, they would then trust God for the future, for now and the future. Moses is saying to Israel, you have got to remember. Don't forget how God has led you. If you're in here today, you say, I don't know what I'm going to do, where am I going to? You got to remember. If God's taking care of you in the past, you remember on that thing. And in that remembrance is the power for the now and the future. God realizes that we often forget what He has done for us. He knows that. In Deuteronomy 6:12, Moses issued a final warning to Israel just before they entered the promised land. Beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, I'm going to begin you on something here before I quit for next week. Moses gave a warning. Remembrance is not just a good idea. There's a warning if you don't. Got to take it a step further. Why? Because it's prophetic in power. There's a warning that goes with it here. The meaning of the Hebrew word for memorial is to remember. When you have a memorial service for someone, why do you do that? It's to remember them. So the word here for remember, Deuteronomy, is the same word, but it's been translated memorial. A memorial day. Memorial service. Can anybody look at the word memorial and tell me what word comes out of it? Memory. Memorial is the act of a memory. Are you with me? I can't even let you stop here now. To remember in a memorial. Now watch this in Joshua 4:4. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. So here they go. Walk down into the Jordan. They find them a big rock. They pick it up and they put it on their shoulder. One out of each tribe. 12 men pick up 12 big rocks. They carried them out of the Jordan. They put them on the other side of the Jordan as a memorial of what God had done to get them to the promised land. It's all tied up in memory. It's all tied up in memorial. Why do you think we have the Lord's Supper? Jesus says, do this in... There's more in the Lord's Supper that we've touched yet. Because as we take the Lord's Supper, you can take it today, there's a memory. Remember what Jesus did at the cross. There's power in the Lord's Supper. But you got to truly take yourself back in the memory of what Jesus did. You can't be just lip service. Now, so they got these rocks, these stones. They picked them up. They carried them to the other side. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what meant ye this by these stones? So the reason of the memory turning into a memorial was so that people would ask, well, what's that there for? Memorial Day. Well, what's that there for? The reason you have it is so people will ask. Why do I think it's important to have churches all along the roads everywhere? It's a memorial. A church house, I know people say, well, you have your home and everything. That's fine. Be a memorial in your home. This church house is to be a memorial to that road out there. If you believe this or not, I want to tell you the truth. People that are lost and don't know God, when they ride up and down this road, I promise you, they're thinking, well, if I ever wanted to know God, I think I'd go there. Right? Because this place is a memorial to what? Our memories of what God's done for us. Can somebody hear that? Do you know how important it is? It was so important, Joshua told them to get 12 rocks, make a memorial on the other side, said when your children ask you what it's there for, that you can tell them out of your memory what it's there for. You're going to tell them what God's done for you. Verse 7, then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. The memorial was a sign of memory. Zachars, you are the remembering ones. Why is the remembering one so important? Because the power of God, the divine power, is in recalling of the memory of when God moved in your life. I'm running out of time, Karen. But I've got 2 minutes. Y'all open up wide. It is to be a time of remembering what God has done. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel. How long? How long is your memories of what God's done for you going to last? What are you going to be doing in heaven around the throne? Remembering. You're not going to be praising God because He's pretty. I don't even know if we can see Him. You're going to be praising God around the throne because of you remembering what He's done. So pray tell, why do we give so much attention and time to everything that's wrong in our lives? Oh, somebody talk to me. Why? You're not going to use a bit of it in heaven. Not a lick of it. If somebody said you was going to die in 2 weeks, I promise you, everything that you thought meant something don't mean a thing. The only thing you remember is what God's done for you. And you're going to ask Him to do it again. That's right. I'm going to mess around and preach if I don't hush. First, the memorial stones were to be a reminder of their own personal experiences. Somebody hear me. In your personal experience with God, yours, it's unique. You alone has had your experience with God. Listen, nobody has the same fingerprint. Nobody. Everybody has their own personal experiences with God. So the power of God that's in your memory of your experiences are unique to you. And only you can deliver it to this earth. Say, well, I got the gift of healing. He's got the gift of healing. He's got the gift. Why, pooey. God healed you and you can tell somebody how He did it. They can tell. There's not any stories alike. None of them's alike. If God's got you in a situation for healing and God's healed you and you're going to pray for them, it's because what you got in your memory is what it takes for that situation. You got to move. When God says move, we got to move. Let's stand, lest I go for 2 more hours here, God. Lord Jesus, we love You. It's our prayer, O God, that we will in this worship as we move forward, that in this worship, that we'll be made into new wine, that we'll be made that our memories, Lord, as we sing this worship song, it's my prayer. This is not an intermission. This is a time that our memories are being stirred. Stir our memories, O God, on what You have done for us. Help us to pay it forward. As You bring people to mind, help us to pay it forward on their behalf. Stir us, O God. Stir us, O God. Stir us, O God, is our prayer.